Edition of Trucker Talk on KRBN Internet News Talk Radio. It's going to be kind of an interesting show today. We're going to talk a little bit about the new FMCSA hours of service proposal and how it will affect the drivers and some of the new changes. At 5 minutes into the show approximately, we'll have our special guest Crazy Man, who is an over-the-road trucker, he's going to be calling into the show and give us some information, express his views on it, since this is what he does for a living daily. What I'd like to do is, first of all, mention that I have some audio that we'll be playing later in the show. This audio was taken by permission of Alan Smith, who hosts the Blog Talk radio show Truth About Trucking. His guest, Richard Wilson, a regulatory manager of Trans Products and Trans Services, Motor Carrier Safety and Compliance Company, based out of Milford, Delaware, and his website, of course, is transproduct.com. We'll be borrowing some really good information from that. But in the meantime, let me go ahead and give a summary. Well, first of all, let me give out the phone number, 646-721-9887, if you'd like to call in and join the show. We also have the chat room open at blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. And with me in the studio is my co-host, Mimi.
Hi, how are you?
Who will be helping me out until Crazy Man calls in. Basically, let me go ahead and give you the summary of what the FMCSA is trying to do. I'm just going to read directly from their summary. It's to promote safety and protect driver health, the FMCSA proposes to revive the regulations for the hours of service for drivers of property-carrying commercial motor vehicles. In order to achieve these goals, the proposed rule would provide flexibility to drivers to take breaks when needed and would reduce safety and health risks associated with long hours. The proposed rule makes 7 changes to the current requirement. The first proposed rule would limit drivers to either 10 or 12 hours of driving time with a period of at least 10 hours consecutive off-duty. Okay, that's no changes now based on all relevant consideration. Although the FMCSA favors a 10-hour limit, its ultimate decision will include careful consideration of the comments, which I do have a link on our website where you can give comments to the FMCSA, but you need to do so before the 28th of this month. Anyways, the second would limit the standard driving window to 14 hours, while allowing that number to be extended to 16 twice a week. Third, actual duty time of the driving window would be limited to 13 hours. Fourth, drivers would be permitted to drive only if 7 hours or less have passed since their last off-duty or sleeper berth of at least 30 minutes. Fifth, a 34-hour restart would be retained subject to certain limits. Now, this is something that's really going to cost drivers a lot of money, and we'll get on that a little bit later. And fifth, Sixth, the definition of on-duty would be revised to allow sometimes spent in or on the truck to be logged as off-duty. And seventh, the oil field operations exception would be revived to clarify the language. Well, for most people, the seventh rule would not apply. Go ahead and just interject here, again, some more summaries. And again, 646-721-9887 if you'd like to call in and express your opinion on these new rules. Let me cover the 34-hour restart provision. Under the new hours of service proposal, would retain the 34-hour restart provision, allowing drivers to restart the clock on their weekly 60 or 70 hours by taking at least 34 consecutive hours off duty, which is like the standard rule as it is. However, the restart would have to include two consecutive off-duty periods between midnight and 6 a.m. The drivers, of course, would only be allowed to use this restart provision only once during a seven-day period. What that means is that, say, for example, you just started your workday on Monday. You work 2 days, and then you have a slow period. And so you would normally, say if you have the next 2 days, it's slow. So you decide to take the next 2 days off and restart your 34-hour clock. Under the new proposed regulations, you would not be allowed to do that. You could only restart your 34-hour or your 70-hour clock once within a seven-day period. And the other changes to the rule here is that violations, another way to take money out of your pocket. Commercial truck drivers who violate these proposed rules would face civil penalties up to $2,750 for each offense. Trucking companies that allow their drivers to violate the proposed limits would face penalties up to $11,000 per each offense.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, they're getting they're hitting it hard.
Yeah, they are.
Another proposed rule would be the mandatory breaks. The breaks must the proposed rule would ensure a driver does not drive more than seven consecutive hours without having at least a 30-minute break. Drivers can choose when to take a break, but they must take it if 7 hours have passed since their last off-duty or sleeper berth period, if they wish to continue to drive. So there's another provision that's going to eat into your hours. It's is being required to take a break, and then again, where the break can be taken. And of course, the driver can take more than one break if they wish to.
Non-working numbers, so we can't call you. So, okay, it's 646.
Anyways, again, that number 646-721-9887.
721.
If you'd like to give us a call here.
9887.
And again, we're waiting for Crazy Man to call in. He's on the other line, having a little problem there.
721.
So please bear with us.
9887.
Another change in the rule is that.
All right.
If the 14-hour driving window would be different from the current 14-hour duty period. Basically, that means under the current rules and regulations, you can work, you can be on duty, not driving, after your 14-hour period, as it currently is now. Under the new regulations, as soon as the clock strikes 14, you have to cease all duties. Which means that whatever you're doing, if you're at the dock or whatever, you have to stop. And we have a caller coming in.
Yes, and you do.
We do. Welcome to the show, Crazy Man.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me again.
You're very welcome. I was just giving the people a summary of some of the new rules and that's going on and how it will affect people. And I was just talking about how the 14-hour window, and when you get done with your 14 hours, you're done. You can't do anything.
Okay.
So basically, as an example here, in fact, from the audio from Alan Cho, here's a caller. And let me play that audio real quick here, see if this audio will work.
Yeah, you're still on.
Say, I delivered a load of boards to a grocery warehouse one afternoon, and the way it would have worked, it took me about an hour or so to unstrap and everything, and I was backed into one of their bays where my friends who are listening right now would have had to get in, get out to get their loads at this warehouse. I would have been forced to sit there in that spot I couldn't roll my tarps, couldn't roll my straps. I couldn't do anything, and I couldn't move out of the way so the other drivers could do their jobs. Absolutely.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I know. And this is...
So as an example, so he's backed up at the loading dock, and his clock runs out. And, of course, under the new rules and regulations, especially if you have the electronic recording devices, you can't move that truck. And if you're stuck in the loading dock, everybody else is going to have to wait on you.
Yeah. Pretty much it right there in a nutshell. These guys that are making up the new rules are trying to make the roads safer for everybody out here, for us, for them, but they're not looking in the real world of shippers, receivers holding us up, dispatchers, load planners. Oh, yeah, by the way, don't forget traffic.
Traffic?
Traffic, yeah, what's that?
Yeah, what's traffic?
I don't know anybody that doesn't know anything about traffic.
Well, and that's just the thing there, like regarding the mandatory brake. Again, you know how truck stops are any place you could pull over for a safe haven, even temporary on the road, is that, you know, if you're driving along and you're coming up on that seven-hour barrier where you're forced to take a break, and you don't, then you're in violation, even if there is no place to pull over. So now instead of having the 11-hour rule and the 14-hour rule, now you got a seven-hour rule you got to watch. So you got to watch the clock for three different things now under the proposed rules.
Yeah. Well, they're just trying to make it safer out here, but they're not looking in the real world. You know, they're wanting us to get breaks in because of the fact is we're getting fatigued out here. Granted. Mm-hmm. But then there's spots that you will not, cannot do nothing. Like,
right.
For example, let's use the 95 in Nevada. Well, it's about eight and a half hours across. And in 7.5 hours, there is squat to pull over at. Nowhere. So what are you going to do?
Well, if I remember right, you can't. There's no shoulder to pull off on either, is there?
No, there's not.
Yeah, so what do? You shut down in the middle of the road?
Pretty much is what it's looking like.
Oh, I could just see the DOT setting up to catch people on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, the whole idea, the whole purpose of the changes in regulation is all for safety, to try and reduce the fatigued driver. But I personally don't think that they're going about it the right way.
No, they are not. They're going about it the wrong way. And the drivers are the ones going to be taking the pull over that one.
Exactly.
You know, there's nowhere to park.
Well, exactly. And also, kind of getting back here to the restart thing. I can't. Well, okay. Like, I'm not going to jump back to the audio, but Alan Smith of the Truth About Trucking Blog Talk Show. Asked the question about, because he's a nighttime worker, about how the new proposed 34-hour restart would affect him. And basically he's saying that in order to meet the requirements where you have to have at least two consecutive off-duty periods between midnight and 6 a.m. before you can use the restart provision, in his case, they figured it out that it would be a minimum of 49 hours and could run up to 58 hours off before they could legally start to run again.
Oh, it's crazy. What they need to do is find the trucking company that will sit down and work some of these new rules and plans out or talk to a bunch of them. But the companies aren't going to talk to them because they're going to look at it and go, ooh, this is going to be better for our drivers. Or we can manipulate it to work it to our advantage here, 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 and here, where it might be worse than it actually is.
Well, are they actually aware of the new changes? I mean, I'm assuming that the safety officer of the companies is supposed to stay up on it.
It's possible, depending on the company, they could be, but some companies probably are not.
Yes.
Because they're just going to wait and find out what falls from the aftermath of everything. So that's where you're at right there, the aftermath. Nobody knows because they don't want to stick their necks out.
Yeah.
So.
Well, either that or are they just like drivers, for example, the CSA 2010 regulations, which are going to hold the drivers more directly accountable. I've talked to some of the drivers where I work, and it seems like I'm the only one that even heard of CSA 2010.
Yeah, that's it right there. Most of the drivers have not heard of it, don't know what it is, are confused.
Or they don't care.
Or have not even heard of it. That's the other thing.
Right.
You know, I mean, some of the rules for the 2010 stuff, I'm still learning, and, oh, yeah, this is 2011 already.
Right.
So, what do we do?
Well, and because they're not aware, and not aware how they affect them, because of the new scoring system, for example, let's say you have a few, because it's easier to get to be in violation, especially with the new electronic logs, that let's say, for example, the company you work with, you violate hours of service multiple times, and finally you part company with your company, and you decide to go to another company. Well, because of the new scores that they have, you may not get a job with a quality company.
Yeah.
Because what you do as a driver now affects them directly as well, because they're both held accountable.
Correct.
But if you're told that you have to violate these rules, like, let's say example, the loading dock example that I gave earlier. Okay, you're at the loading dock. You know, the clock struck 14. You can't move that vehicle, and your electronic recording device is going to record if you do it. Well,
right.
They come through and do an audit, and you're in violation.
Right, but the electronic log is supposed to be able to let us move some feet to get out of the docks to not violate it. We're supposed to have at least a minimum a half mile to when your 14 hours is up on that clock if you're at a dock to move to find a safe haven. Not saying you're going to find one in a mile and a half.
Right.
By what the computer is saying, but it's possible, it's feasible, that if you talk to, say, IE shipper or receiver where you're at, they should let you park on the parking lot if you can move out of their docks. But you're still going to be in violation some shape, some form, somewhere.
That's correct. Again, assuming that the receiver will allow you to park your truck there.
Right. That's assuming they will let you park there. Not saying they will, but if you involve DOT, they're pretty much stuck at they will get the ticket if you bring DOT into it. But DOT is not going to go, well, there's a driver that's going to be in violation. DOT is not going to come out and do squat.
Right.
Unless there's an accident of a fatal. So they need to sit down and come down to the real world and actually figure all this stuff out.
Well, one thing that the FMCSA is doing, though, they are allowing a little bit of flexibility, for example, of extending the driver's daily shift to 16 hours twice a week to accommodate for issues such as loading and unloading terminals or at port. But this is assuming that you are able to go at least 3 hours off duty to extend that time to 16 hours. And again, you can only use the provision twice a week.
Yeah, but then are you going to be in a violation somewhere else down the line with electronic logs? Are the electronic logs going to realize that, oh, he took a three, so that means we've extended it out? Or is the computer going to go, well, yes, he's got enough time, but now he's put into violation because the computer doesn't recognize it?
Correct. Of course, assuming that, you know, the computers would have to be updated to go along with the new regulations.
Right. So, I mean, we're all over the page here. I don't think people are actually sitting down and trying to look at the big picture. They're just trying to look at a quick fix. And the other thing is, they are, oh, yeah, they have these fancy-dancy meetings for us where we can't get trucks into.
You're talking about the FMCSA thing?
Yeah. So if we were to, say, have a meeting in Springfield, that was town hall or whatever you want to call it, do you know too many places that will allow big trucks downtown for us to come in and help with these new rules? No.
In fact, in Eugene, Springfield, the closest place where you could park a truck is Coburg.
Okay, that would be, I'm going to say, ballpark 10 miles, 20 miles from downtown.
About 10, 15 miles, yeah.
Okay.
Unless they set up a parking lot somewhere. But typically, the nearest truck stop is about 10, 15 miles from Eugene.
Okay, so is the truck stop going to let us drop trucks there so we can drive into town the 20 miles? Most likely not, because of terrorism threats and stuff like that, because of 9/11. They do not let us drop trailers unless we are going into their shop and have to drop said trailer. So the truck stop will not let us drop the truck there in the truck stop to bobtail into, say, Springfield to see said meeting.
Well, an additional thing, if you're doing, like a live load or something similar to that, your company won't let you just drop the trailer.
Correct. Company won't let you drop the trailer anywhere but their facilities, their operating centers, or their drop yards.
That's correct. So drivers are, you know, even though like the FMCSA had their listening sessions where they invited people to join, again, like you're saying, unless you are in an area where you can go to one of those proposed meetings, or you have internet access where you could pull over and join them on the internet, you know, assuming that, you know, somehow it can fit within your schedule. And how many companies do you know are going to give you the time off to go sit in on one of those sessions if you're on duty?
Let me see. None. Unless you're sitting at a shipper or receiver or you're on a lunch break.
Correct. And the other thing, getting back to the companies in violations, the company, a lot of companies, I'm going to say, they're not really that concerned about it. You know, you, like, say, for example, you find an equipment violation on your vehicle. You know that this is going to be an out of service if you get stopped. You bring it up to the company, and the company says, well, does the truck still run? Yes. Deliver it.
That's when you write it down in your logbook and do not drive the truck. To hell with them. But then you can be in fear of losing your job.
Exactly.
You know, we can only do so much.
Exactly.
Because whatever.
So the driver's caught in the middle, no matter which way you look at it.
Yep, the driver's caught in the middle of everything.
So if you look at, like I say, you take a look at the, well, like for one thing, you're going to be basically the cop, so to speak, to make sure your equipment, because you're the captain of the ship, to make sure your equipment's running good. You're going to go butt heads with you know, the people you work with to stay legal. Your company's going to threaten you to keep going. You're the one that's going to get the ticket, and that and the violations, of course, are going to follow you for the next 3 years, which could affect you getting a job in the future.
Yeah, so we need to buckle down and get after these companies on this stuff. They actually need to leave the driver alone as long as he's noting it in the logbooks and everything else. So if I, let's say for the company I'm driving, we'll call them Gold, for example.
Okay.
I'm driving for the Gold team. And I know that I have, let's say, a red airline that's chafed or, well, just a little bit. But it's usable. And it's marginal, unsafe, but it's safe. And the company says, well, we don't have one right now. You just need to make the delivery and go about your business. Well, that's when you need to note it. So that way, if you do get, let's say, pulled into a scale house, and shut down, you've already got it noted in your logbook. But you come back after said run, don't get shut down. Ooh, that was your lucky day. And they say, no, we still aren't going to change it. Well, you now have the right to refuse driving said truck because that is unsafe equipment.
Yeah, but technically, using your example, you knowingly went out with a bad line, and being the captain of the ship, you've made that decision to violate the rules and to violate safety.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you go
yep.
into the weigh station, and they inspect you, and they find that, even though the company told you to go, you're getting the ticket.
That's right. That's right. It's my ticket now.
Exactly.
Or they should have told you, well, I'm sorry, we don't have the part here right now. We need you to make that run on the way while you're headed that way. We know on the other side of the scales there is, let's say, a flying bubble truck stop. They have the part. Please, on your way, hopefully you don't get stopped, but hopefully on your way up you can get it replaced and make the delivery is what should be done. Or have somebody run up, grab the part, come back and fix it. But the load is going to be late now. What do you do?
Well, the safest way is to have somebody go and get the part.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, like you say, the catch-22 is that they don't want late deliveries. And so somebody's going to make the decision. And ultimately, like I said, you know, you being the driver, ultimately, you're the one that, if you get caught, is going to get the fine.
Correct.
And these fines have increased, you know, $2,700 per violation to you, $11,000 to the company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The fines are getting so ridiculous that I should be a greeter at the Bubble Mart. Welcome to Bubble Mart. Get your stuff now. Get out. But
yeah.
That's the only stuff you're going to be able to afford after getting a couple of those tickets.
Exactly. Well, and the new rules, I mean, I've only touched on a few of the summaries, but the new rules are starting to get just a little bit more complicated. And, I mean, it's not that the current rules aren't any less complicated, but I don't know. I just, like I say, I just think it's becoming more and more ridiculous. It's all in good intentions, but I think they're kind of making I think they're going to put a lot of people out of business because they're just going to, between the 24-hour or 34-hour restart, the 7-hour break, reducing the drive time from 11 hours to 10 hours, and then, of course, the not allowing you to work past the 13 or 14-hour work day, you know, it's going to cost people so much money that they're just going to say, hey, we just can't do it anymore.
Yep, pretty much it right there. Because nobody wants to listen. Nobody wants to learn. Nobody wants to work together. It's you know, kind of like the shippers and receivers. Get it into a door. Oh, it's break time. I'm in the lovely state of California, and they have mandatory breaks. If they don't take their mandatory break, let's say at 9:15 this morning, they could be fired over it.
Now, is that for drivers that are home-based out of California?
No. That's like working at Bubble Mart. If you work at Bubble Mart, okay, and I pull the truck in there at, let's say, 8:45, you start offloading the truck, and at 9:15, your break starts. You better be on break, or you can lose your job. Who cares if that truck sits there for the next 45 minutes while you're on break? My break's more important than you or that freight.
Okay. You're not talking about for the driver, though.
No. I'm talking what happens. The driver pulls into the door of Bubble Mart, and they're going on a break.
Okay.
So they go on break. Now I'm stuck there in the dock. My 14-hour clock is tick, 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 ticking for the next 45 minutes while they have to take their break.
Right.
So they don't care.
No.
They're more worried about their jobs than get their freight in the door and off that truck. Oh, it's just a truck driver. Big deal. It's just a truck driver. They'll make it up somewhere else on the road.
And now that they go ahead and have, limit your driving time by from 11 to 10 hours under the proposed rules and lower your 14-hour window to 13 hours, it increases your risk of being stuck on that dock or burning daylight that you're just not going to be able to go anywhere.
Right.
So, well, let me throw this out. First of all, again, telephone number 646-721-9887. If you have any comments on this, the chat room is open. This is a very important issue, and your voice and opinions are really appreciated at this time. But let me throw this out there. One of the arguments that I've heard from drivers is that by most drivers, they get paid by the mile, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see. There's basically your LTL, local drivers, which they get hourly. Then you've got the over-the-road driver, which is me. And then you've got other drivers that are over-the-road are paid a percentage. So, like the truck I drive, I get per mileage. Or we'll use a buddy of mine drives a truck. He gets I can't even think what you want to call it. Basically, the company he works for pays him, okay, they start out at 100% of the load. The I can't even think of it. Let's say the logistics that he goes through, they take their 30% of that load off the top.
Right.
Now he's down to 70% of that load is his.
Do they take... So, now, some companies, I think, also take some off the top if you're late, too, don't they?
Yes. If there's late fees, there's early fees. I've never heard of... I don't understand an early fee. There's one company that I have dropped a lot of freight at. If you show up 5 hours early, they will charge you $500 for getting their freight there early.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And $500 if you're late. So 5 hours early, 5 hours late, they still charge you. You've got to be there at, say, the window of 12 o'clock, period. If you're even 30 seconds late after that or 30 seconds early, you're charged, period.
Now, I can see maybe being late because they have to squeeze you in somewhere, but as I heard a couple drivers talking about that the other day, if you check in, just check in early, and I know the companies you're talking about, they'll fine you $500. It's like, you know, it, and that's just checking in. That's not, you know, I'm here to be unloaded. You're just going, hi, I'm here, $500.
Yep. Just but, to tell them that I've got your freight here on time, and I can sit over there for another 45 minutes and go, woohoo, I'm here. I'm not going to be late.
Yeah. Yeah, because you would think that they would rather you be early than late, but but what I was going to suggest is that, okay, as some companies or drivers have suggested, is that, you know, if the wheels don't turn, you're not making any money, and by cutting off an hour to an hour and a half of your drive time to make up for that distance that you have to travel, you know, like say, for example, let's say your company requires you, or you have to do, say, 500 miles a day, and, you know, or even 500 miles to make your appointment. Under the old rules, you can do that on average. 500 miles a day is not that, you know, it's achievable.
Yes.
Okay. So to make up the difference with an hour being cut off, you're going to have to speed a little bit.
No, we don't speed. We just fly very close to the ground, is what we call that.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to have to start modifying things a little bit. So let's use, for example, of California and let's say Oregon. Those are 55-mile-an-hour states. Some truck drivers kind of obey it. Some of us step over to the gray area of 58 because we can get away with that. Okay, we're not going to be able to run that gray area. We're going to have to step over and on up to 63, 65 to make these time frames. Instead of, you know, okay, whoops, I'm at 58, big deal. Now we're going to have to be at 65, 95% of the time, more than we normally are.
Right.
Or should be, to make these deliveries. But here's the thing. Consumers do not know where their food comes from, period.
Yeah.
They walk into Bubble Mart, I've been using as the example.
Okay.
I want corn on the cob tonight for dinner. Wow, there's the corn. I found it. Or I need the snuggly soft toilet paper. Hey, guess what? It's on the shelf. They don't know how it gets there. They just know that tomorrow it's there.
You mean it's not transported in like on Star Trek?
I wished it was. I could be sitting at home, push buttons. Ow, that hurt.
Yeah. Okay,
George. Paper cut.
Okay, well, where I was going with all this is that how much would it affect the driver's income if you took away the per-mile provision and changed it to hourly?
Let me see. If you broke my pay down into hourly, I make approximately ballpark of $23 an hour. Ballpark.
Okay.
Give or take, you know, depending on what state I'm in.
Okay. So let's take the figure $23 an hour. So, all right. So let's say the companies don't pay by the mile anymore. You know, they change the regulations. No longer paid by the mile. So there's no incentive, per se, to go rushing down the road except, you know, to meet derogatory deadlines that may be impossible to meet. But so in other words, you know you're going to work, you're going to drive at least 10 hours, and so they're going to pay you for 10 hours a day.
Yep.
Well, how would that change the industry, do you think?
Let me see. I see a lot less products on the shelves because I would slow down a lot more.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean? I got 10 hours to work. Let's see. I actually figured it out. I make $24.60 an hour. Let's times that by 10 if they paid. That's $246 a day. I don't see any company in the world paying me $246 for driving 11 hours.
Uh-huh.
They barely want to pay us the 41 cents a mile we make.
Okay.
So I don't ever go into hourly. I mean, the $250 a day times 7, which is what I normally work 7 days a week, that's $1,722 a week that they will pay me before taxes. Okay. That means that $1,722 plus now is going to be kicked back to who? The consumer.
Right.
So let's use the Snuggly Soft toilet paper, a 4-pack. We'll just make it a very easy number for you, for everybody to digest. We'll make that 4-pack a dollar. That dollar 4-pack of toilet paper, everybody can afford a dollar. Oh,
okay.
Now we've got to kick all these prices up to make up for the wages. That dollar 4-pack of toilet paper now is going to run up to $2.50 for a 4-pack.
All right, but don't you think under the new regulations, though, where you're losing that extra hour, that the company's going to have to either change their schedules or hire more drivers to make up the difference? That's 7 hours.
You're going to have to hire more drivers to make up the difference. Now, forcing the wage that we do make per mile or per commission, we'll say, it's going to force it down even lower.
Uh-huh.
So it would be easier for, it's crazy. It's just crazy. There'll be more trucks on the road, more fuel being used, and the price is still going to be passed on to the consumer.
Exactly. And for each truck, we were talking off the air earlier, like states like Oregon, which thinks that trucking is a gold mine and raised their fees up 104% this year, is going to be more overhead on the companies. For each driver they have, you got the work comp and you got all the other things that go along with it, plus the truck, the insurance. So the cost is going to go up there just to make up for that lack of 1 hour per day that you could be down the road.
Yeah, this is what we're doing with the company that we're working on building. We're not basing it out of Oregon no more. We are incorporating it out of Nevada.
Uh-huh.
In Nevada, they don't have all this good goo. So we'll just take all of our money and just dump it in Nevada. Why dump it in Oregon? We'll just pay the federal tax or the highway taxes on our fuel. We'll go somewhere else and live somewhere else.
Exactly.
That doesn't have a tax on it. So
and that's
now,
what happens a lot in Oregon.
Yeah, let's save the 25 trucks that I have set up to buy. I take everything there. What is Oregon going to be losing out on that 25 trucks?
Well, just in registration fees, about $1,100 per truck per year. So, $25,000 in registration fees at least.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to mention
the other bits out on.
Mm-hmm. And then if you decide not to do anything in Oregon at all, like, say, buy fuel or even service the customers in Oregon.
Yep. If that's it right there, we will be, bye-bye, we're out of here. I will take my money somewhere else. I figured it out that if I top off my tanks in XYZ before I cross that border and go up to Washington, I do not have to buy one drop of fuel in that state.
Correct.
I've got enough fuel to go up to Washington from this border to that border. Oh, yeah, turn around with my next load, come back down, and buy it in California. I don't ever have to buy fuel in Oregon or Washington if I play my cards right.
Right. You just got to get through Oregon, which has the highest number of way stations in the nation, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. Or I can fill up at the California border down there in Redding, and I can go up to Washington. From Washington, I can go all the way over to Boise, Idaho on one full tank of fuel. All I now have to do is pay road taxes, not fuel and road taxes in both of them states. What if they just lost out by forcing me to pay $1,100 per truck?
Well, in addition to that, getting back to, like I was saying, not being able to drive for an extra hour, you know, by losing an hour a day, getting back to the 34-hour restart provision. As an example, I don't know if you were on when I gave this example. Like, say, you start out, let's say you start your day on Monday morning and you drive for 2 days, and then for the next 2 days, you don't have any load, so you decide, under the current regulations, that you're going to take I don't have anything for 2 days, I'll take another 34-hour restart and reset my clock. But now you can't.
That is stupid. That is so stupid. Because if I get a 34 and then turn around and get another 34, that means I'm getting more rest than I really need. The driver's going to be, less fatigued.
Correct.
And more safer out here. That's just going to bite them. We'll be able to save the hours for those 2 days that we're stuck sitting. But still, that 34-hour restart was put in for a fact to make the driver safer at any given time needing to use it.
Right. Exactly. Or one of the provisions for the 34-hour restart, like I say, it must have at least two consecutive nights of midnight to 6 a.m.
Yeah, another stupid idea. Mess our sleeper berth time up, you know. That's just going to screw it up even more.
Well, I think what they were thinking is that that during that 34-hour restart, just like with limiting, you know, when you hit the 13 hours at the end of your day, that you will walk away from the truck. They're also including, from what I've read on the FMCSA's website about the proposal, that they're thinking of, you know, when the clock strikes 13, you're done. You can't go to any company meetings. You can't do anything except they want you to go home.
Yeah.
But because you're 11 Western, okay, you're three states away. You're just not going to go ahead, okay, I'm going to park the truck and go home for the night.
No. I sure can't afford the money to go, oh, I'm going to a motel for the night.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for spending.
Or you run out of your hours at a rest area.
Maybe you're stuck at the rest area, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know what they're thinking anymore. The people that are making these rules up, I understand they're trying to make the world safer for us, safer for the cars around us, but they need to back their noses out of it before they start making rules that they don't understand. Or if they're going to start making rules of this, and this, they need to get out here, find the company that whoever's going to make these new rules, he or she needs to get in that truck with a driver for a minimum of 2 weeks, so 2 to 3 weeks, so they understand what goes on.
Correct.
What I can tell you by putting it on paper, sending it to you, you're going to go, ooh, that looks like a great day. That's going to be perfect. That driver's going to be safe. But when you get out here to the real world, what you wrote down on that piece of paper is not going to always fly or work right.
Well, and
who has
to go along with that?
Stuck traffic?
Well, and to go along with that is that a lot of these studies are done in the lab about sleep deprivation and everything. A lot of things are not taken into consideration. For example, how many times have you started your workday, say, at 9 a.m., and then had to adjust your day because now you have a delivery that's due at 2 a.m.?
Yeah, a lot of times. A lot of times. It's like the load I'm on right now. I've been working starting out about 9 o'clock in the morning. 8:39, somewhere in that time frame. My delivery tomorrow is now at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
I should be getting to bed pretty soon to to now switch my clock to a different schedule. This is not a 9-to-5 job or a 7-to-4, however you want to look at it. You can't work a normal day. Nobody can.
Exactly. Same thing for being in an office. To emphasize your point, even if you work in an office and one day you start at 6 a.m., the next day you start at midnight and
yeah.
then go back again, pretty soon you're going to start doing these little, what's called microsleeps. You know, they're involuntary little cat naps that, you know, when you're sitting in a chair and next thing you know, your head's bobbing back real quick because your internal clock just doesn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I would
yeah.
say that if they were going to do anything, make a law to prevent that type of hour swapping. You know, from your dispatcher saying, okay, I'm going to start you off. You got to be there at 9 o'clock in the morning tomorrow, and 3 days later, you got to be there at 9 in the afternoon.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, here's the thing. It's like, I go back and forth from driving days to nights, nights to days to night, which wears me out, but I do it.
Yeah.
If they want me to drive nights, let's say I'm just get ready to come out of the house to run my normal X amount of days and weeks and months out, right, for the next X amount of months, or let's say a month, for the next month, all I do is drive nights. So that way my body knows that, okay, the first day or two is going to be a little rough because I've been up dates.
Right.
But now my body's going to go, okay, 9 o'clock in the morning, it is bedtime. Get into the, let's say, a truck stop, park for the day, go to sleep, get up at 9 o'clock at night or whatever. Get up at nighttime, get ready to rock and roll for the whole night, and I can drive nights. After 3 days, my body's going to be a little tired for the first 3 days.
Right.
But not as bad as switching back and forth from days to nights, nights to days to night.
Right.
If you start one shift and stay with one shift the whole time, your body will be fine.
Exactly. And I haven't heard this being addressed at all, especially with the FMCSA. Is concerned. I mean, some drivers.
They're not looking at that side of the coin.
No. No, you're exactly right. And like you said, it's been suggested even at the listening sessions that what they need to do is they need to have a representative, like you said, get in the truck for at least 2 weeks and go out on the road and see what it's really like
uh-huh.
before making these decisions. But that's why. You know, the FMCSA is allowing comments, and again, let me reiterate, for these new proposed rules, they are taking comments until the 26th of this month. And there's a link on our page, on our homepage here, to go straight to the comments section and to read more about the rules. I highly suggest that so far there's only been less than 5,000 comments so far. I highly suggest that people go in there, leave a comment, keep it civil, give them your story and explain to them, you know, why this won't work and give a small suggestion of what you propose that will work.
Yes.
You know, this,
people need to stand up and speak about things. And the only way you're going to make anything better is, oh, wait a minute, get out of those offices that are trying to make these rules and come to the truck stops, the rest areas, and things like that where trucks are. Because we cannot. All we can do is sit in a truck stop and bitch about it. If nobody, we can't come to you, somebody needs to come to us, i.e. the government needs to go to the orange team, the white team, the gold team, the red team, the blue team, go to them operating centers, find out what the company would like, listen to the driver, get input from them there, or go to these different truck stops and come and find out what is what we need.
And
we
why aren't the companies
go to there?
And why aren't the companies putting informational packets up in the truck stops themselves?
They're afraid of what information they give out will be wrong. And now, being me as a driver, say I picked up a brochure from the Orange team saying that this is what we see with the new regulations. Now the Blue team's got theirs side by side. Two different pamphlets saying that the same rules are wrong. One's right, one's wrong. Then you got the Yellow team that goes, no, both of them are wrong. Nobody's going to want to stand up and say, hey,
well, why not have the FMCSA put out the pamphlets so they get it directly?
I don't think they will, because that's too much time and money for them to waste. They won't waste their time. They're just going to sit back in their little offices and go, yep, that's good enough for you. Shut up. Go away. That's it.
You're just a driver. What do you know?
That's right. You're just a driver. You're expendable. You're just a heartbeat with the CDL.
In an unskilled, technically unskilled job.
Bingo. Unskilled job. Oh, you need a lot of skills to do this job. Yes, 95% of it is driving. But you need to learn how to drive to begin with. If you don't know all these fancy rules and regulations, you can get fined. Did you know in the state of California, okay, one of our yards, if you go in the wrong direction, which is fine if you're bobtailing, but if you go in that direction with the trailer, you've got to swing out over a double yellow line and into the yard. Do you know what that ticket costs in the state of California? And the company doesn't tell nobody about it.
Because you crossed a double yellow line.
Because you crossed a double yellow line and you can't know all the rules in every state.
Right.
But you cross that double yellow line to make your right hand into that operating center, and guess what? That's $500 if they catch you.
Yeah, but there's even on corners, there's a lot of areas that you cannot turn without crossing that line.
Correct. These roads are not designed for trucks. They're made for what?
Cars.
And little bitty what? Pickups.
Pickups, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
In Oregon, they're made for bicycles.
Oh, so that's what the little parking spaces are called. Bicycle lanes.
Bicycle lanes, exactly. Well, anyways, do you have any final thoughts, Crazy Man?
I have a lot of thoughts, and I don't think we have that much time.
Okay. Well, again, we're out of time here, so... I highly urge everybody listening to again, go to the FMCSA's website to submit a comment, and again, keep it civil, and let them know how it will affect you. Give your input now, because like Crazy Man says, we can all be whining at the truck stops and at the tables and whatever to each other, and it's not going to accomplish anything, but we're going to have to live with a new regulation. So log
That's
on
right.
there. Let him...
And thank you again, Robin, for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
And again, thank you, Crazy Man, for coming on the show, and hopefully we'll have you more often and for hopefully a lighter subject.
All righty. Thanks. You have a great night.
You too.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio. Thank you.